Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
What a sad state of affairs we're in that we can't have a trial in the great state of Wisconsin without it becoming a national nightmare, a national problem, and it has become just that at the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. A trial that the left tried to ignore early on because they knew that the facts of the case were so strong in favor of his defense that it was self-defense. That, yes, Kyle Rittenhouse made some very poor decisions the day that he went to downtown Kenosha with an AR-15 and a medic kit and was going to try to help people, and he had a fire extinguisher, and he was going to put out dumpster fires and cars on fire and things like that, that this was all ill-fated. It was a terrible idea. I think most reasonable people see something like BLM riots and say, you know, that's a good thing to stay away from, which is how $50 million worth of damage was caused in very tiny Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's just, it's staggering that we allow these riots to take place, these protests, whatever they want to call them. I literally was listening to a report on the radio the other day, and it said, it called Kenosha's riots a social justice gathering. That's what it's called. Not even demonstration. A social justice gathering is what they called it. I'm like, this is a riot. $50 million worth of stuff was damaged. Things were burned to the ground. Police were hurt. All right, so I digress. We know what those things were, and we think they could happen again, as overnight, on Wednesday night, multiple arrests happened in Kenosha outside the courthouse. So now we're having a national trial where we can't even have peace on the steps of the courthouse, and the jury inside can hear the mayhem outside. I assume they can go to the window and look outside at some point and see what's going on. Multiple arrests. A journalist was punched. These were people that were BLM protesters and Rittenhouse supporters protesting in the same place outside the courthouse. They shared pizza at one point. Presumably somebody got them all pizza and said, let's just kumbaya here. And they shared pizza. And then all of a sudden, one BLM protester starts shouting insults at a woman who apparently is there to support the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse, and all heck breaks loose. It was not the riots of last summer. It was not a major event. But people were bloodied a little bit. A couple were shoved to the ground. The police intervened, and arrests were made. There's no scorecard yet. We don't know who the absolute instigators were or who were worse, the Rittenhouse defenders or the BLM protesters. We don't know. But why BLM is lined up outside the trial of a white guy killing two other white guys and injuring a third white guy, why this is happening is beyond me. This is, and I know we've taken race to the nth degree in this country, and we've overblown it and overdone it, and it's not good for us. It's not good for the country. There is no, you know, we always have this saying, we should have a national discussion. No, we need less talk about race. We need to forget about race. We need to be post-racial in America and move on and live our lives, and everyone's equal, and go, you live your life, I'll live mine, and let's stop talking about this stuff. That absolutely would be more productive and better for America than this national conversation. Because when somebody says they want to have a national conversation, what they're saying is there's only one thing we want to do. We want to make you feel terrible for being white. You're guilty. We're going to have racism against you to make up for the racism against black people 170 years ago. That's essentially what we're talking about. There were terrible things going on 170 years ago, and now today you have to pay for it because we're going to have racism against you. That absolutely is what critical race theory is. That's completely what it is. So we have a trial where the judge is just beside himself. He's mad at the prosecution. We learn on Wednesday that the prosecution has kept an HD quality video from a drone of the events of the night that Kyle Rittenhouse shot those men from the defense team. They provided them with a grainy version of a video and allowed that into court. And now they're wanting to use or have introduced this HD video after the case is closed and the jury's deliberating. And again, the defense has called for a mistrial. I think the judge is going to, if this thing doesn't happen, that he's not guilty and acquitted, I think the judge is going to declare a mistrial. I do. There's just been so many things the prosecution has done that you shouldn't be able to do and maybe you can't do. I don't know. The judge hasn't stopped it. He hasn't held them in contempt at this point. But it's a disgusting trial. It's a terrible display of our judicial system in America. It has not gone well. There are reports out that what has actually occurred is the deliberation was pretty quick. And I don't know how this stuff gets out, and I don't know that this is true, but this sounds viable to me. This sounds reasonable. That the 12 jurors went in and very quickly said, yeah, we think he's not guilty. We think it's self-defense. We all believe that. But two jurors are too scared to vote that way on the jury because they're afraid of their own family's personal safety. So in short, it's possible right now. You have 12 jurors all agreeing that Rittenhouse should be acquitted, but two people are saying, I can't vote that way. I'm not going to risk my family over Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm not. I'm not going to move. I'm not willing to pick up and go into some sort of protection program or whatever I have to do. I'm afraid of the mob outside. And I know that people in Kenosha know that I'm on this jury. This is not secretive. They've kept our faces off TV. The media haven't named who we are, but it's no secret in Kenosha that we're on this jury. Kenosha's too small of a town to keep people from knowing who's on the jury. It's not possible. The names will get out, and if they are all 12 unanimous, all 12 could potentially be in danger. Our criminal justice system is forever changed, not because of video of the trial. That's not it. It's because of the left-wing media. They incite violence in America. They promote violence. They want you to go take matters into your own hands. There is injustice. We use words like justice and injustice in the left-leaning media, and we know exactly what that means. If there's an injustice and no justice prevailed, it's time to go do something about it. Politicians right and left, but mostly on the left, are out there saying, you got to go take action. We've heard this. Don't stand for it. Get in people's faces. Make a difference. Go do this. I always say on this podcast, be heard. Get involved. Do something. Tell people. Don't be afraid to let your feelings be known. Don't be some closet conservative. If you can come out, do it. Get out of the closet. But don't go down to the Nichols Fountain and start a riot. Don't throw things at people. Don't take frozen water bottles or plastic bottles filled with concrete and start throwing them at people. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not that kind of resistance. Resistance here is we have to win the war of words. We have to convince American voters that common sense, traditional American values are better than what the left media spew. That's our goal. That's what we have to do. That's the way you win this thing. It's the only way you win it. You don't win it through violence. You don't. And we're losing it at this point. We are losing it because of violence, but we're losing it because we will not fight back with violence. We won't do it. Will there be a mistrial? If there is, what if there's a guilty verdict? Will there be riots from conservatives? No, of course not. There will not be riots from conservatives. It won't happen. So there's a double standard. We all see the double standard. We see the double standard in news like we learned Wednesday. The Q shaman from the January 6th riot at the Capitol. He had 6 counts against him. 5 of them were dropped. They're all nonviolent. Nonviolent basically should be misdemeanors, except they happened at the House of Representatives. And the QAnon shaman, his name is Jacob Chansley. He's been given 41 months in federal prison for a nonviolent crime. He is guilty of obstruction of an official proceeding. There is no knife possession. There is no gun possession. There is no assault charge. There is nothing violent. He went in, he stood at Nancy Pelosi's podium, and he put his feet up on the table when he sat down. He has been charged and found guilty of obstruction of an official proceeding. That is the crime. 41 months in federal prison, and we have violent criminals in New York that they allow to go on bail without bail, just allow them out in the middle of the night. You commit a crime at 10, you're out by 4 a.m., you're processed, you're in the system, but we turn you loose. You beat somebody up, domestic violence, you're free. This dude puts on some sort of a weird hat with horns and bare stomach and has paint on him and goes inside the Capitol, was basically allowed in by the cops, allowed in, caused no trouble, but made a scene through photographs and video images. And now he gets 41 months in federal prison. We've lost. We have to find a way to get this country back. But the way to do it isn't through violence. The way to do it is through winning elections. Washington, D.C. is filled with swamp creatures. They are leftists. They've won to this point. They've won with threats of violence. They've won with threatening to burn down your police station. They've won by scaring you with COVID. They've won by scaring you about everything in your life that you're going to die if you don't vote for them. And right now they're scaring you with, we will arrest you and jail you if you're conservative. That's where we are in America. You will go to jail if you're conservative. I understand why people are afraid to say they're conservative. You're watching people who were allowed into a building by police officers being placed in solitary confinement for 10 months and then giving a 41-month sentence, ruining the life of a 30-some-year-old guy who didn't hurt anybody, who didn't have a weapon, who did something really stupid. His crime is stupidity. You shouldn't have gone into the Capitol. The steps were good enough. Marching down the street and going to the steps of the Capitol was good enough. Peacefully protest. Everything would have been fine. Good enough. Going inside, taking the pictures, looked fun, was fun. It was actually kind of funny when you saw it. You knew it wasn't going to turn into much violence. The only crime that's been committed, really, in my opinion, to this point, is a police officer basically murdering one of the people coming in unarmed without warning. Ashley Babbitt was killed by a Capitol Police officer with no warning. Broke a window. She shouldn't have been climbing through. I feel bad for her and her family, but she should not have been doing what she was doing. But my goodness, the cop is, of all the things we've seen of police officers using bad judgment and shooting people, that's got to be at the top of the list. Absolutely at the top of the list. We see this double standard. It's terrible. And now the double standard, the threat of violence, apparently by accounts, has a couple of jurors so scared that they can't rule the way they believe they should rule in this case. They may send a guy to prison, Kyle Rittenhouse, in order to save their own family. I'm not going to be overly critical of that. I haven't walked in those shoes. I have no idea what that must feel like for those families, for those people on that jury, to think, people know I'm on this jury, and if it's unanimous 12 that he's not guilty, what happens to the 12 of us? They're scared. This jury is absolutely scared, and it's an absolute shame. We get all this news on the heels of new polling about Black Lives Matter. A year ago, Black Lives Matter polled 52-28 favorable Americans. This is Americans. 52% supported Black Lives Matter. Remember when people didn't know it was a crazy liberal political organization that was basically founded in Marxism? Remember when people didn't know that? When people didn't know that, it was easy. They're mostly kids, mostly young kids. We see it. They're college kids, whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, Black Lives Matter. That makes sense. Black lives do matter. I agree with that. Everybody agrees with that. Black lives matter. All lives matter. We all agree with it. It's an easy sentiment to agree with. 52% of Americans said they supported Black Lives Matter, including Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't talk much about it anymore, does he? Nor do the Chiefs, nor do football players. They were paid off. That was easy for their charities. 52-28 supported Black Lives Matter, 28 opposed a year ago. Wow, what has changed? Woo-hoo-hoo! It's lost 8 points of support, and it has gained 16 points in opposition. So, 8-point swing, 52-44, but the 28 is up to 44. And that means people who were sitting on the sidelines and didn't have an opinion now have a negative opinion of Black Lives Matter. They see it's destructive. They see it for what it is. And Americans are now 44-44, 12% undecided. I will argue that the 12% undecided should go in the we're against Black Lives Matter column. So to me, it reads 44-56. There's not a person in this country that doesn't have an opinion. If you didn't give your opinion, you're afraid to say, I think they kind of suck. So 44% support, that means 56% don't support Black Lives Matter. It has changed dramatically in America. And maybe the warrior out on the front steps of all of this is Bill Maher, the comedian and political show host on HBO, who was on Chris Cuomo's show and got into it with about Dave Chappelle and said, look, Dave Chappelle is not transphobic. He's not homophobic. Bill Maher is saying something that I've been saying for years. Phobic means you have a fear of. Who's really afraid of a gay person? Who's really afraid of a transgender person? Phobia does not work. It's not relevant. Maher's point is stop using that term. It's a broad brushstroke, and Dave Chappelle is not afraid of gay people, and he's not afraid of transgenders. He had a very good friend that was a transgender. But he believes there are two sexes, and Maher goes on to say, I don't think we should be forcing this on kids. We shouldn't be telling kids it's okay to think about changing your sex or doing this when you are kids. Bill Maher makes some excellent points. He says, I'm a liberal, I'm a Democrat. We've gone too far. What if Don Jr. had the problems Hunter Biden had? He says, what are we even thinking pushing critical race theory? It's racism. It's racism against white people. White people will figure it out. He's saying these things out loud. He says of Joe Biden hasn't exactly stuck the landing, unquote. Now has he? These are all common sense things that Bill Maher is saying. He's saying to Democrats everywhere, you've gone too far. You're going to lose everything. They're not going to respect you. You're going to flip a generation of voters. They're going to say those people are crazy. And he's right. They've gone too far. And in that way, we're winning. In the actual day-to-day life in America right now, we're losing. Mandates are on the books. Violence is threatened. Courtrooms are being turned upside down in trials that matter in a system that's supposed to be fair and just. We have rioting outside, fighting outside the doors of the courtroom in Kenosha, Wisconsin. What are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? All right, before we get to sports, I want to welcome a new sponsor to KKHI, and this is kind of an important and fun one. I like this. I've known a man named Spencer Marquardt for years. Did not know until recently that he has left the business he was in and started a new business. I love entrepreneurs. And he's got a partner named Steve Laughlin, and they've started a great local company in Kansas City from their homes in Stillwell. It's called the Finch Knife Company. And I love their slogan. It's keep life from getting dull. They use 154cm U.S. blade steel in all of their pocket knives. These are your dad's pocket knives. Pocket knives are a very useful thing to keep on you. These are not big assault weapons or multi-tool pieces. They're not tactical knives. Okay, these are beautiful pieces of art. They're gorgeous knives. You have to look at them on the website. FinchKnifeCo.com. FinchKnifeCo.com. You can order directly. The price point is about $89 to $140. There are all kinds of people that collect pocket knives or that use them every day. These are incredible pocket knives made by a local Kansas City company. And every single knife they've ever made is designed right here in Kansas City by Spencer and Steve and their team. They're going to be available at the new Teague Tractor and Farm Store in Belton. It's the only retailer at this point. But you can get them online at FinchKnifeCo.com. They have dealers around the country, around North America. The knives have become very popular. And, you know, more than 90% of their business is through these dealers around the country. And they said, you know what we'd like? We'd like for people in Kansas City and the Midwest to know what we're about. Every knife has a unique name. They have, I like the Cherry Bomb. Yes, it was a great John Mellencamp song, but it does remind us all of the 4th of July. And they have a Cherry Bomb, which, of course, was a red pocket knife. It's absolutely gorgeous. You have to see it at FinchKnifeCo.com. But then they have a black model as well, and I think I actually like the black model of the Cherry Bomb better than the red. They're going to be sending me a couple of these pieces. They are pieces of art. They are not tactical knives. They have 6 to 8 new designs every year. You can see the entire collection at FinchKnifeCo.com. If you like a good pocket knife or you know somebody that does, this holiday season, it is a great way to support a Kansas City company. You can do this locally. It doesn't matter where you listen to the podcast. I say this all the time. If you live in Boise, Idaho, and you listen to KKHI, here you go. You want a connection to home? You like a good pocket knife? You like to keep a great pocket knife in your pocket? Or you know somebody this holiday season that would love a pocket knife as a gift? Here is a great pocket knife that's going to last forever. It's gorgeous. These are pieces of art. I mean, these are These are really sensational. They have mother of pearl. They have wooden handles. They have bone handles. These are gorgeous knives. If you like a pocket knife, you have to visit FinchKnifeCo.com. FinchKnifeCo.com, a local company growing. And this is for, you know, they'd like to find new customers that are collectors, and they'd like to find new customers that want to carry a pocket knife. Again, these are not tactical knives. They're not, you know, some Rambo thing stuck in the woods for 3 months. You're going to survive on it. This is for every day. Oh, can you help me open this box? Yes, I can. Looky here. I've got my Finch Knife Company pocket knife. Let me pull out the cherry bomb, whoosh, help you open this box. All kinds of uses for a pocket knife. Many people just like a good pocket knife. And I'm telling you, these are the best of the best. At a price point that isn't insane. You know, there are some pocket knives out there that have become outrageously expensive based on some reputation that they really haven't earned. $600, $700, $800 pocket knives. These are roughly about $89 to $140. You're going to love it. FinchKnifeCo.com. We welcome them as a new sponsor. We also welcome them as friends that we have known for a long time, people that we know, people that we trust, people that love this podcast, people that love America, people that are not afraid to say Finch Knife Company stands with conservative Americans, with rural Americans, with people who from the heartland who understand America's traditional values. And I totally respect that in the Finch Knife Company. It's complete respect to say we want to be on Kevin Keatsman as issues. We believe in what he's talking about. We stand with him and with those American causes and American values. And Finch Knife Company is your go-to this holiday season. This is a great gift for someone. Or tell your spouse this is what you want. Just show it to him. Everybody's doing this now. Here's exactly the knife I want for Christmas. FinchKnifeCo.com. Order one today, or the new Teague Farm Store in Belton is going to have them. If you want to go out to the Teague Tractor and Farm Store in Belton, they have them as well. You can see them in person, touch them, handle them, see them for yourself. That's the only place at this point. Or tell your favorite shop anywhere you live, tell your favorite shop you should be carrying Finch knives. We'd like to see them. Carry them in here. Maybe you go to Bass Pro or Cabela's. They don't have them yet. They make their own. They're not in there yet. But if you go there and enough people say it, they'll take a look, and they should, especially locally at Cabela's and Bass Pro. They should consider carrying Finch knives. FinchKnifeCo.com. Welcome aboard. I used to carry a pocket knife, and I haven't in years. I don't know why I stopped. I guess you just get to a point where you have keys in your pocket and you have whatever, and maybe I just stopped out of convenience. But I used to have a very nice pocket knife that I carried in high school and into college. I enjoyed it much. It wasn't like a Swiss Army knife or anything, but it did a couple other. I think mine had a bottle opener on it. So this must have been when I was a teenager. Like, yeah, the pocket knife function is great, but this thing pops open as a bottle opener as well. You know, you're 20 years old. Yeah, they didn't have twist-offs then. But I like the idea of just having the pocket knife. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. FinchKnifeCo.com. Go check them out. Spencer would absolutely appreciate it. And they're just good people. Spencer and Steve are great guys. We had a long conversation with them yesterday. We're going to go out to their design studio and check them out. They're going to be sending me a couple models. But I wanted to let you know about those as they are available right now for the holiday season. They've got plenty of inventory, lots of inventory at Finch Knife Co. So go for it. Let's talk Jerry Jones. I like big star polarizing figures, people who say things. Jerry Jones is a great conservative American. Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. They play the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. This is a dream matchup. I think if the NFL could call a Super Bowl right now and say we want to pick two teams, this would be it. I think it would be Chiefs-Cowboys. Maybe not Chiefs. Maybe they'd pick somebody else. Maybe because that would be 3 years in a row for the Chiefs, and people do get tired of the same team in the Super Bowl. People get tired of that. They do. So there could be some fatigue around the country, but man, this is a great matchup. We talked about the matchup on Wednesday's podcast, but today we're going to focus in on Jerry Jones because the Chiefs don't play the Cowboys that often, and I find him, a lot of people hate Jerry Jones. I find him a likable guy. I like the Dallas Cowboys. I can't hate on him. I identify sometimes with their misery, that they can't get out of their own way, that they're not as good as they should be, that they lose, they have epic fails at the worst times, fumbled snaps on field goals to win games, things like that. Just epic fail. Pass interference calls. When the Cowboys lose, there's always a story there. Always. It seems to follow Jerry Jones. And we probably don't know enough about Jerry Jones in Kansas City or as much as we should, other than the stuff on the surface that, you know, he's this polarizing figure and the Cowboys are always some sort of dramatic situation. He and Chiefs owner Clark Hunt are very good friends. They live in the same neighborhood in Dallas. It's a very exclusive neighborhood. It's actually the only neighborhood in America that has two NFL owners. So that ought to tell you something about where they live. They live about a quarter of a mile or half a mile apart. Jerry Jones and Clark Hunt in Dallas, Texas. They are very good friends. They're very similar. They're very conservative. They love them some Texas now. They love them some Texas. Jerry Jones is not really a Texan. He was born in L.A., but as a very small boy, moved to Springfield, Missouri. His dad was an insurance salesman in Springfield, Missouri. His dad got some idea of buying a ranch just outside of Springfield. He bought a few hundred acres east of Springfield, the Buena Vista Ranch, they called it. And the dad had an idea of putting some animals out there and turning it into one of those drive-through animal parks. Well, he did that after Jerry was grown, and Jerry took over and kind of ran the place. It was one of his first businesses. That was 1971. And he was helping run that business. Jerry Jones, that business was open for a long time. It was a tourist attraction. Jerry Jones would borrow $1 million from the Teamsters and open up Shakey's Pizza Parlors in Missouri. He lost all of it. Somehow, the Teamsters circled back. I don't know enough about Jerry Jones to tell you his affiliation with the Teamsters or his dad's or what was going on. His dad was in the life insurance business. I assume he provided a lot of insurance for Teamsters, and they made some money. He was not a poor kid at this point. Jerry Jones' dad was doing well, but Jerry Jones has had a habit his whole life of borrowing money trying to start businesses. Jerry Jones borrows money or rallies up the money, gets the commitment from the money in 1967 to try to buy the Los Angeles Chargers. He failed in that attempt, but he was trying to buy a football team at a very young age and was unable to do so, but he tried, which means he knew that football was going to go somewhere. And he always wanted to be in football. So he bounced around and he finally met some people in Arkansas that were in the oil business and natural gas and whatnot. And he got in with those folks and then he started to make money. But Jerry Jones, by NFL standards, when he acquired the Dallas Cowboys, was not rich like the Hunt family. He was not rich like the other owners in the NFL. And he put together a group of investors where he became the managing partner. Think of it like John Sherman with the Royals right now. John Sherman owns the Royals, and he's the managing partner, but he's not really the owner. He doesn't own 100% of the team. There are several people that have small pieces, but he's got a couple of folks. He's got a couple of whales involved in this thing, too, that have pretty big percentages. My guess would be somebody owns maybe 20 or 30% of this team. And Paul Edgerly, the guy that owns part of the Boston Celtics, he went to my high school. Shawnee Mission North, he's a K-State guy. He was Mitt Romney's partner at Bain Capital. They won't say how much of the Royals he owns, but my guess is he's got to have 20 or 30% of this team. I don't think Paul Edgerly gets into owning the Royals for 1% like Eric Stone Street or Patrick Mahomes. I think he's in, and he's all in on making money off of his investment. He's a silent partner, and we know that John Sherman runs the team. This is what Jerry Jones did with the Dallas Cowboys. And through the years, he's bought people out. He's bought more and more of them out. He was the managing partner. Al Davis did the same sort of thing with the Raiders back in the day. Now his son basically owns the team. And that's what's happened. Jerry Jones now basically owns this team. He has made billions of dollars off the Dallas Cowboys. And it would be harsh to say, although there's some truth to this, it would be very critical and harsh to say, Jerry Jones borrowed money and started and failed more businesses than you can shake a stick at until he borrowed money or raised money and started the one business that won't fail, and that's an NFL team. You can't run an NFL team into the ground. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's why the prices have gone up so much. There was a time 30 years ago where people said, sports owners are dumb. There's no real money to be made. They're putting a lot of money in. It's expensive to operate, but that's changed. The value of these things go up enormously, and that was found out very quickly by Daniel Snyder when he was laughed at when he bought the Washington Redskins, I think for, I don't know, close to $800 million. And he was a FedEx guy, and he had all this money. And they said, you're crazy. What are you doing? That's outrageous. Well, it's worth $2.7 billion now, or something of that nature. And he gets to have fun with his business. He gets to go to the game on Sunday. He gets to run a sports team. These rich people have figured out these are great investments where you get to have fun. Jerry Jones did that. He was one of the first, really, that recognized the potential of what he could do with the Dallas Cowboys. They're the most expensive franchise now. Their value is greater than any sports franchise in America. It is number one. And Jerry Jones has hit it big. And he's done a radio interview. And he said, hey, I'm in Missouri right now doing a radio interview back to Dallas. He did this on Wednesday. He said, I'm already in Missouri. I came 5 days early. And the reason I told you about his background is he spends a lot of time in Missouri, down around Springfield. They still have land. I don't know if he's hunting. I don't know exactly what Jerry Jones is doing. He didn't say. He just said, I'm already in Missouri, and I'm on my way to Arrowhead. I'm spending the week in Missouri. He grew up basically in Missouri, and he's headed to Arrowhead, and he calls it the Lion's Den, and that he can't wait. He says, I think the Cowboys are better on paper. We got to see how we can handle this. It's going to be loud. We're playing a great team. Folks, there's going to be so many Cowboy fans in the stands. If you're going to the game on Sunday, you're going to be annoyed. Cowboys fans are coming. They're going to get tickets. They're rich. They're loud. They'll flood the secondary market, and they will be there. This will not be the greatest home field advantage the Chiefs have ever had. In fact, there are many people within 2 hours of Kansas City that their favorite team is still the Dallas Cowboys, not the Kansas City Chiefs. Many people. Jerry Jones in his radio interview, and he didn't disclose where he was, but it had to be somewhere near Springfield. He said, I'm in Missouri, but I'm in Cowboys country. There are more Cowboys fans here where I am right now than Chiefs fans. And I think he's probably right. And that's what Dallas has been for a long, long time. This is just an epic game. And it'll be fun to see Jerry Jones squirming in the box if Patrick Mahomes throws touchdowns. Make no doubt about it, the Cowboys are better than the Chiefs right now. The Chiefs are going to have to play their A game. That's what makes this game perfect. That's what I love about this game. The timing couldn't be better for the Chiefs. Keep it coming. They've had some breaks the last few weeks. Now they've got the attention of the team playing better than anybody in football. And let's go gauge this thing. Can we go beat this team in our own house? So I think that's a pretty cool setup for Sunday's game at Arrowhead. KKHI is presented by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC and Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. You know the deal at Roberts Robinson. Do business with them. Have them fix your car or get a new car at robertsrobinson.com. Merriam Body Shop. Okay, my buddy Jimmy has been sending me emails. He's so impressed with the job they're doing on his wife's Suburban, detailing it at the new car image. They didn't have an accident, but they've heard me talk about the detail services, the ceramic coating. He's so impressed with that, he's going to have his truck done. And now he's talking to Justin and Jason over at Merriam Body Shop, the new car image, about doing his boat this winter. It's a different kind of coating, but they can do the. I'll get back to you on this. He's like, I trust these guys. These guys are the ones that I need to do my boat and make sure it is absolutely perfect. And I think that's pretty cool. MerriamBodyShop.com, the new car image, 913-362-1198. And of course, BStock.net. You can buy electronics no matter where you live and save money at BStock.net and have them shipped right to your door. Cheaper than Amazon, cheaper than BestBuy.com, cheaper than NFM.com. Don't even think about it. You'll save money at BStock.net. You save even more in person at 14680 South Flaming Road. They have a beaten bad box discount right now that is amazing. They'll show you what the damage was to the box. They'll show you the unit that it didn't get touched. It's all packed in styrofoam and everything else. And you're going to save hundreds, maybe even thousands, depending on what you buy at bstock.net. Also in the NFL, Kelly Stafford, the wife of Matthew Stafford, the Rams quarterback, apparently went all Brittany Matthews during the game on Monday night as the Rams are getting pummeled by the 49ers. A 49er fan is giving her the business, as they say. A 49er fan is giving Kelly Stafford the business. Now, this is a couple that's been through a lot. Kelly Stafford has had cancer, and these are great conservative people. Again, Joe Flacco's taking over the Jets. He told everybody now, people are just standing in front of the media now saying, I'm conservative, I don't have the vaccine. Screw you, sorry for your bad luck. So the New York media is going crazy over that one. Matthew Stafford's been the same way. We know these people are conservative. They're a great love story. Yes, he's made hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes, he's in a better place in L.A. Kelly Stafford became most famous after her health issues. She became most famous a year ago this week, for making a video on social media that Michigan, which he was the Lions quarterback at the time, Michigan is a dictatorship, and she's over it, and she's had it because of all these businesses that are closed. And she said, I know about COVID, and if you've got comorbidities and you need to stay home, you stay home until we get a vaccine. Stay home. But we can't close these businesses. This isn't fair. This isn't America. This is a dictatorship. She is outspoken. This girl will tell you what she thinks. I respect that and I like that. But she did go all Brittany Matthews cray-cray at the game the other night. Some 49er fan starts ripping her about how her husband's playing and he didn't play well. They got drilled. He's having a great season. The Rams were having a great season. Some nights are not your night. There is not a team in the NFL that has not laid an egg at this point. The Chiefs had theirs in Tennessee. The Cowboys had one against the freaking Broncos, for crying out loud. The Rams, well, how about week one Packers? How ugly was that? Tampa's had a couple of ugly games in a row. Everybody's subject to this. That's what the NFL is this year. This is where we are. Let's accept it and understand that the best teams in January are going to be the ones that make the Super Bowl. And this is about, this process is about getting better. Every team is stunk. The Rams took their turn on Monday night. And Stafford was not good, and the Rams were absolutely dreadful. And it happened. And some Niner fans are giving her the business. They know who she is. They're giving her the business. And she argues back, and she hollers back, and they're into it. There's no real video of this thing that I've seen. But it leads to her taking a soft pretzel and throwing it at the 49ers fan. And you really can't do that if you're the wife of the quarterback that's losing. You just can't. She's apologized for it. Throwing a pretzel isn't the end of the world. But it's embarrassing. It's the same thing as Mahomes' brother. It's the same thing as his fiance. How did we get to this point? Is it, have we raised a generation of young people that have been fighting so much on social media that they just think this is normal behavior in public, that I'm just going to chuck a pretzel at you? It's presumably a man she was arguing with. She just thinks she can chuck her pretzel at the guy? Again, not the end of the world, but a sad statement on where we are. And I like her, and I want to defend her. I like her and respect her in so many ways, but you can't do that. You just can't do that. She's apologized. People will accept it. You know, the one thing that's accepted in America greatly is your relatives. You know? People don't hold you accountable. Like Joe Biden is president. Nobody holds him accountable for his son. They should, but they don't. You may get held accountable for, certainly for your actions, but for the most part, your quarterback, your wife, or your brother does something crazy, they're not holding Patrick Mahomes accountable. Most people aren't. I can say things like, I'd like to see him take charge and fix it, but I don't know, hold him accountable for having it. Well, he's not married, so at this point, he is accountable for being with Nutty Brittany. He is. He is absolutely accountable for that. And we'll see if he goes full accountable on that and really becomes accountable. Ooh, wow. Don't get me started. Man, I love this story. This is fantastic. Let's talk a little college football. Whoa, let me first give you a headline in college football before I get to this. Is about Pittsburgh State. You're going to like this. Fox Sports has tweeted out the ratings for college football this year. You know, we hear all this, it just matters more in the SEC. The money, the television contracts, the money in the SEC versus the Big 12, all these things. You've heard all this, right? You know all about this. You know that ABC has a primetime game every Saturday night. There's a lot of Big 10 games there. Big 10 versus SEC, a lot of big matchups. Primetime on ABC. CBS has the 3:30 window, which is SEC exclusive. That is thought to be America's game of the week because it's the mighty SEC. Fox Sports has something they've been promoting heavily for 2 years now called Fox Big Noon Saturday. Noon refers to the East Coast time zone. It's 11 o'clock here. It's 9 o'clock in California, for crying out loud. It is largely Big 12 games. It is occasionally, they can have Pac-12 mixed in. There's some other schools mixed in. They've done some other things. But this is largely a Big 12 window, the Fox Big Noon Saturday. Fox Big Noon Saturday. There's Big 10 involved. Fox Big Noon Saturday is America's number one college football game. 5.1 million viewers on average versus ABC's primetime game of 4.9 and CBS's later game at 3:30 of 4.8. That's right, the SEC game of the week is now the third highest rated game in college football on television. Various reasons for this. One is Fox has put a lot behind this and promoted it. They promoted it heavily, and they've done a good job promoting it. They've had good games. The broadcast is good. The matchups have been close. The games have been compelling. You don't see Alabama beating someone 41-10 in that window, generally. I'm happy for Fox. I'm happy for the Big 12. I think it says a lot college football ratings on national TV across the board get pretty much the same number. There is not much variation. These are regional sports. You'll notice these numbers are nowhere near. I mean, Fox Big Noon Saturdays, 5.1 million people. That's fantastic. That's a third of the people that saw the Chiefs and Raiders. College football is not national. Everyone in the nation loves college football. It's actually America's number one favorite sport for attendance. But it's a regional sport. It is a local sport. It is about your conference. Then later you go play for something national. I've always said that about college athletics. It's your conference first. It's the only thing that matters. We really don't think all that much about the Chiefs in the AFC West, do we? No, we think about the Super Bowl. We look around the conference. We look at the NFC. Who could beat them? Who could stop them? That's what we do a lot of. Even when the Chiefs were a 10-6 wildcard team, that's what we would do. Because you can get in without winning your division. You don't really think about the division all that much. College football has something incredibly unique and is about your conference. And that's what people love. People love that about college athletics. And I congratulate Fox, the Big 12, and Big Noon Saturday for being the number one highest rated college football window so far this season. A couple weeks left to go, but so far this season. This is the story I love. Speaking of college football and conferences, Pittsburgh State was traveling to take on Fort Hays State last Saturday for a conference game. No short drive. Pittsburgh to Hays is no short drive. And the team bus broke down on their way to Hays. Well, what are you going to do? You're in the middle of nowhere. You got to stop the other bus. I think there's two buses for the team. So the other bus is healthy. It's working. But this one bus had to be stopped down, shut down on the side of the road. What are we going to do? The long snapper for the Pittsburgh State Gorillas, one of the greatest mascots in college football, is a young man named Timmy Malinowski. Timmy Malinowski walks to the front of the bus and says, "Let me take a look." And he goes up, they pop the hood, they're looking at the bus, he's looking at all everything going on. Timmy says, "I think I got this." He had a multi-tool kit in his backpack that he takes with him everywhere. It's like a Leatherman. It's one of the, like we were talking about the pocket knives from Finch a little while ago. Not that. This is the multi-tool thing. And he carries it with him, and he had it in his backpack. He says, "I think I can fix this clamp on this hose, and I think we're going to be okay. We got a little problem with this hose clamp. This hose is popping loose, and we can't run this bus. I'll fix this." Malinowski, turns out, is studying this at Pittsburgh State. This is just a great story. He's an automotive technology major at Pittsburgh State, and he's the long snapper on the team, and their darn bus broke down, and he had in his backpack his multi-tool, and he got out, and he fixed the bus, and on they went, and they made it to Hays on time. I love that story, and I love college football, and I love the fact that you can go to college and study automotive technology. This is outstanding. We need more tradespeople, and that doesn't mean you can't go to college. If you want the college experience, if you want to learn a trade, if you want to be an electrician or electrical engineer or get into anything that has to do with the trades, maybe take business as a minor, start your own company. I would never discourage people from going to college. I think it's great that fewer people are going to college because I think there are great ways you can make $100,000 driving a truck or $100,000 being an electrician. There's a lot of ways to learn a skill and have a great livelihood and a great life without going to college and becoming a history major. And the only way you're going to make money with your history major is to become a professor. And you don't really want to be a professor. Look, I'm all for go find your way. But I also think it's cool if you want to be an automotive technology major that you can play football at Pittsburgh State and get a degree. I assume he's on scholarship. Get an automotive technology degree at Pittsburgh State and then follow your passion after school. I just love that about America. I love it. There's so many more ways to skin a cat today than, okay, you graduated high school. Now you have to get my message from my parents was, dad digs ditches, basically. Your dad didn't get an education. It's hard work. It doesn't pay a lot. We're happy to have be in a union household where we can take you kids to the dentist and the doctor. The union takes care of us because there's neighbors of ours who aren't in unions and they can't go to the doctor regularly and they don't get to go to the dentist. That's when I grew up. And it sounds demeaning that my dad was a ditch digger. That's not literally true. He didn't have a shovel in his hand. He was not a laborer his whole life. He did some of that. but he got in the Operating Engineers Union and eventually was a very gifted, I thought, backhoe operator. Was his main forte. He could run other things, but he ran a backhoe on the street crews, digging up curbs, sidewalks, concrete work, things like that. So it came to a point where it wasn't backbreaking work for him, but they didn't have air-conditioned cabs and stuff like that. It's hard work. He worked long days. And I worked with him as a teenager. And when I came home from college in the summers, I worked for the water company, ran a jackhammer, was on an asphalt crew. He got me in all those things. And his message the whole time was, you don't want to do this. You want to be a sportscaster, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. He said, you have to go to college. And he's right. I had to go to college. Today, it's not necessarily the case. There are plenty of sportscasters and people in sports radio that never went to college, or if they did, they didn't graduate. I'm not sure that's the greatest thing for media, but I'm also not sure the greatest thing for media is to send people off to colleges where they're just indoctrinated with liberalism. So we may be better off by not having these people go to college. I just think it's cool that this guy is studying automotive technology. He's on the Pittsburgh State football team, and he fixed the bus on the way to a game. It ain't getting better than that, man. That is a great and fun college football story. I love it. KKHI is proud to be partnered with Back 9 Development online at back9development.com, featuring the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Check out their portfolio at back9development.com. 360 Document Solutions. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday from Nevada, Missouri, that is interested in having 360 Document Solutions take a look at some of the things they're doing in their office at their hospital. I said, yes, please. Just contact Mark at 360 Document Solutions. They'll be right there and help you get fixed up. 913-745-5344, 360documentsolutions.com. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Joslyn's is the jeweler you're recommending to your friends and family. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team of orthodontists at Fry Orthodontics. There's a location near you. The first appointment is free. If you got crooked, this is simple. If you have crooked teeth and you don't like it, go take the free appointment and hear what they have to say at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Okay, we'll finish with this one. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I'm not really hopeful it's going to be outstanding. The Royals teased on Wednesday that they're going to reveal two new uniforms for 2022, and they'll reveal those on Friday in social media outlets. Most of the Royals reveals have been disappointing. I know people like the Friday night gold uniforms they had for a while. Back in the day, toward the end of George Brett's career, they had some black uniforms that were trendy in baseball that were kind of cool because they were different. I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know what the Royals are going to do. The Royals have a great, iconic, traditional uniform, and messing with things like that, to me, is not always the greatest idea. They've won a couple World Series. They have history. The organization has largely, over a long period of time, had strong periods where they were good and won at the highest level. Chiefs are the same way. Chiefs have alternate uniforms. They have the all-whites. They do some things. The all-reds don't bother me. I don't mind that, but I don't want to get radical with either one of them. I think Kansas City, we're lucky with our two main franchises that we have really, really nice, classic, iconic uniforms. We'll see what they toss out. I'm not a uniform hater. If it's a alternates that they wear once a month or something like that, I'm up for just about anything. I like the retro things. I don't mind when they wear the Monarchs uniforms and things like that. Those things don't bother me, don't get me wrong. I'm just not really optimistic that we're going to have some reveal on Friday that gets us really excited about the Royals' new uniforms. But I guess we will see. All right, later on Thursday, we'll have another podcast with Lee Sterling with all your picks. If you'd like to become a patron of KKHI, you can get the Thursday night pick absolutely free. If you get signed up today, we'll get you going. Lee Sterling is now 19-9-1 after the Dolphins covered last week. That is all time on Thursday nights. He'll have a selection for us on this Thursday evening. If you want to get that, just go sign up and become a patron. KKHasIssues.com. KKHasIssues.com. Click on Become a Patron and get that absolutely free. And we'll have some other good stuff from Lee Sterling there and a bonus podcast coming up on Thursday as well. Very special show coming up on Friday. It's going to be different than others. It is a holiday. We do sports, life, sports, politics, and life. Friday's podcast will be a life podcast. And I really want you to listen to Friday's. I really, really, really want you to hear it. It's important. It's special. The holidays are around the corner. I think you're going to like it, and I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to listen. I'm counting on you to listen to it and not say, okay, this one isn't the meat and potatoes, politics, and sports that I'm used to. I'm counting on you to give it a listen and some strong considerations. So that's going to be coming up on Friday. Big week for KKHI. I'm enjoying it immensely, and I'm thrilled that you're all listening. Please tell your friends about it if you can, and hit that like or follow button wherever you listen to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.